I want to design and star in my third act. I want these last years to be my most impactful, not only for people around me, but for me too. I don't have a lot of time to waste now. Everything needs to count.
If you're interested in how highly successful investors overcome limitations and become unstoppable forces of success, you're in the right place. The Conscious Investor Podcast features weekly conversations with real estate investing experts and delivers a Monday Mindset episode to help launch your week with intention. If you believe success is for everyone willing to think, then do, these conversations will be your weekly rocket fuel. Welcome back, Conscious Investors. As always, I have the very best guests to share space with every single week. And you get to share in these conversations. You get to eavesdrop into these really cool conversations. In fact, I was eavesdropping on my own conversation this morning as I was getting ready, an episode that released recently with David Meadows. And I was like, ah, I just have the coolest, most extraordinary people in my life. If you missed that episode, you need to go back, listen to that episode, because David is just such a gentle giant. And I'm so grateful to call him friend. And today I am joined by another friend, and she is also a coach. She's extraordinary. I've gotten to know her over the last year, particularly through our coaching community, the Space Creators coaching community. You need to make sure you check that out if you are looking to level up life in any capacity and activate your inner potential. Like, you need to make sure that you're reaching out for that support. But the cool thing is that Sherry's in the book club. And if you're not part of the book club, you're totally missing out. She ended up having to leave the book club too. She was taking some classes and things like that because she's such an awesome coach, always developing herself. But her insights just wowed me, and her courage to speak honestly and candidly is something that I deeply value. And so I no doubt you're going to love this conversation, maybe more than I do. That'll be tough. But want to take, now that I've been yammering on, I'm going to just say, Sherry, I've been looking forward to this for like the last 6 months. I don't know. We scheduled this a long time ago, but thank you so much for joining me on The Conscious Investor.
My pleasure. I'm deeply appreciative to be here, and all of the nice things you said about me right back at you, Julie. I think that you're an amazing leader in the book club. Again, your insights and just how you kind of kept us moving along. It was a joy.
It's so much fun. The book club, all the members make it so easy. And I love the contrarian views that we get that actually stir things up for everybody in a friendly way at the same time.
Yeah. What I love about that group in particular, and then the groups that were areas that our lives have intersected, is that I was explaining to a friend of mine, I think the biggest joy about being in a group with people who are constantly challenging themselves, they're looking at perspectives, they're looking at things that they've always believed or that they were taught, and they're saying, is that true? Does that still serve me? Does that serve the greater good? How can I contribute? How can I let love lead me in these situations and still really be me? And it comes from that constant looking at yourself in a way that grows you and challenges you, and it's sometimes a little painful. I know through my life, a couple of times I've looked at something closely and there were some tears involved because it hurt me to think that I had behaved that way or that I had hurt somebody in some way, unwittingly often. But really paying attention to what your intention and your impact, and are those congruent? So I love this group that we're growing. When you hear somebody else's perspective, you're like, wow, tell me more. Instead of saying, I don't believe that, so shut up, you're wrong. You know, right? You get enough of that out in the world.
That's what the world's for.
I think a few more people need to join your book club. Like millions more.
I would agree with that. And that's actually something that I deeply value about that space and Space Creators community is we all come from a variety of perspectives and beliefs and backgrounds. And so it's not an echo chamber. It is an echo chamber in the sense of we're all into challenging and challenging ourselves and challenging those around us, but it's done in such a healthy way. So I'd say that's the overlap, the common denominator. And then from there, it's all icing on the cake because I gained so much from hearing everyone else's perspectives. And it makes me think like, huh, how would I ever have thought that on my own before? Right?
Right. Right. Yeah. There's a highway that we all, a lot of people have within some boundaries, a very similar expectation. I mean, we have the human experience. we love, we cry, we get hurt. We want the best for our family. We want to build a community. We want to contribute in a meaningful way. And then there are nuances to how we were raised, the culture that we're in. And I find the more that I'm out and with other people that have different views than I do, that look different than I, that dress different than I, that listen to different music, that eat different things, my world keeps amplifying and growing. And it just gets more interesting as I get older. I'm 65 now. I thought when at this age, I'd be ready to hang it up. And I'm like, oh, I haven't even gotten started. And the world is more interesting every day. Yeah. Here's how I picture it, Julie. You know, the guy with the specter, the Dr. Death or whatever, he comes up and he gets, you know, I'm going to look at him and go, dude, look at the list. I'm too busy. You'll have to come back.
You know? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That is my
circle back
favorite.
Around a couple of decades.
That is the best thing I've ever heard, ever. Like, I've thought that in my own way, but you just gave it this visual capacity that I've never, I love that. Yeah. Like, go away, Deb. Yeah. I don't got time for you.
Yeah, like, no.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Come on. So, and that's interesting because my husband and I have been talking about how there's a restaurant, I've mentioned it on the podcast before. So if you've been listening, you've heard me mention that there's this local restaurant and it's like going back in time. And it's so weird. Not in the best ways. It's a place I won't eat at any, like ever. I've had a rule about where I eat. We took our daughter there for breakfast and my husband's like, look around. Everybody's reading newspapers. Like it was going back in time. And it was like a group of people who are probably similar, your peers and older and beyond, right? And they just didn't want to adapt or change. And it's like, I'm going to go to the same place and it looks the same as it always did. And it has us. I'm still reading a tangible physical newspaper. I like books, I'm tangible, but I'm like, but it just gives that context, probably the exact same menu. And here you are, like paving a way for this whole other way. No, I'm expanding. I'm getting older and my world is expanding even bigger than ever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because it gets more interesting. And then as I grow more individually, I'm just comfortable. I know that whatever's happening on the outside, it doesn't change who I am. It's, I can allow in what I want, but I'm very curious about a lot of things. Always have been. So that's one of the reasons I think I've had a very joyous life, no matter what was happening externally, either in the greater world or in my immediate family, that I could find a place of joy because I could see the curiosity and why this lesson? Why now? Why is this happening now? What are the contributing factors? Where is my power? What can I do about it? And what can't I? And do I need to engage others? Or do I need to say, I have to let it be? This is what it is right now. But I always get to choose how I respond to it, how much I let in, and whether it's going to knock me off my game, my plan, my roadmap.
That's such a gift to have that. Was it always that? Because it sounds really simple. I know you've worked through and processed a significant amount of things. And the thing is, we can do that with joy. It doesn't have to be drudgery. But how have you developed that? And if someone's, you know, the listeners who are like, golly, well, way to go, Sherry. I'm glad it's easy because I don't feel that way. Like, what support? I always go like from the listener point of view, right? I know you.
Lots of tears.
And I know that you've had lots of tears. So I'm like, oh no, I know she's worked through it, people. So, someone's listening, what would you say their starting spot would be if they're like, okay, my world's been kind of small and I'm new to this. Like, how can I start expanding and having that type of permission and joy in my life?
I think it starts with each of us. It starts with you personally. So if I'm a coach, and that to me, that's a guide on the side. I'm never telling somebody what to do. I'm helping them. We're on an excavation together. We're unearthing what's already there. And so I think the very first thing that anybody needs, no matter what you're going to do, is you need clarity. You need to know something, right? Either you need a roadmap or a GPS if you're going to a location. So it's the same thing. And so for clarity, how you gain clarity is you need to start with where you are right now. So it's kind of like taking a life inventory. Who am I? What do I value? And I mean, not just things like I value honesty. I value not just those key sort of moral issues that we talk about, our values, but do I value being up by 5 in the morning or sleeping until 10? Do I value books or the Kindle? What do you value in life? What do you want to make sure is a big part of your life? Who's on the road with you? Where's the location? What's the timeline? What's the route you're going to take? You know, these are all thinking metaphorically about your actual life. And I think once you get clear on who am I, what do I value, how do I want to spend my days, weeks, months, years, then you can start to measure each thing that comes along to see, does that fit in? Is that part of my plan? There's so many choices today. My daughter, for instance, she's in her 40s now, but about, I would say 12, 13 years ago, she loves to travel and she had gotten an opportunity to apply to Emeritus as a flight attendant. Well, they fly to all the places she wants to go to, plus it's a class act as far as a place to work. But she had just started nursing school and so she was torn and she was a new mother. And I said, Alicia, what is the end plan? Is it to be a nurse or to do a lot of traveling? She said, no, I want to be a nurse. I said, then if that's the path and this takes you here, it just adds a lot of confusion. What do you think you should do? She said, I'm going to have to turn the job down. And I said, okay, that's your decision, but is this going to take me off my path? There's so many wonderful opportunities, but we have to stay on a path. But the other thing is you also don't want to give up on the serendipity of life. There's people that come into your life that you're like, okay, I didn't expect that. I can make this happen. Or it may be worth going off. It's a new masterful, I guess, adventure that you may not have known enough about to even consider on your road. So there's a fine line, but I think it starts with knowing who you are. What do you love? What do you want to do? When do you want to do it? Who do you want to do it with? And then moving forward. Clarity.
I love that. And the conscious investors, you hear me say clarity, clarity, clarity. Clarity is key. It's like I need to make a little song about clarity because
I'll sing back up.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I don't know why the Monty Python spam song is coming to mind right now. Spam, spam, spam. I'm like clarity, clarity, clarity. It's so paramount to being able to make those decisions. Now, you mentioned something, and this is something I've definitely have been learning how to course correct, how to follow serendipity. And then recently I had an opportunity, but I've become a little more aware and aligned and I actually declined the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it was not horrible. I felt like it would have been felt horrible because it was such a cool opportunity, but I'm like, but that's not in line with this. And I was gauging my energy level and what I have coming down the path, what I'm preparing for. And so I'm like, that's going to really be more taxing and not supportive of what I really want to do, as awesome as that is. So
Yeah. It's hard to turn down the fun stuff, the cool stuff, but we can't do everything. And that's just part of life, is making choices, living with the choices, and then thinking about, and then also noticing down the road a little bit, saying, okay, wait a second. Does this still feel aligned? Does this still feel good? We have to make decisions about friendships, about where we want to work, sometimes who our life partner is. They're not always easy. But I think when we're really true to ourselves and our intention is to serve ourselves as well as we want to serve others, that then there's more joy, there's more connection, authenticity, all of those things that make you a great person to be around, whether as a friend, member of a book club, a life partner, somebody you work with, your coach, whoever.
These are powerful. What you're saying is very powerful. And that concept, again, it's a crazy. Sherry and I did zero pre-planning on this at all. And we actually haven't been like talking just by nature of our schedules and everything. So the fact that literally just released an episode on serving ourselves in a coaching session with my coach, who obviously, you know, it's like, I just got called on the carpet in a nice way, because coaches don't call you on the carpet. That's how I'm phrasing it. But I need to like, not just
sometimes
like myself.
We do. I cry bullshit right now when somebody's spinning a whole story and they're like, oh, okay.
Oh gosh. Yeah. You're not going to get away with that over here. Definitely.
Yeah.
That concept of actually loving ourselves in the mess, loving ourselves through the growth, and not looking that as it's selfish, or there's such an interesting construct around that. And I know that people are very more in tune with self-care now. It's still a growing, it still has so much more space to grow.
Yeah, I love that. And I think for me, what's brought me through many hurdles has been a genuine curiosity. Like, for instance, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who has made a decision to have a facelift. And I said, I don't think I'm ever going to do any surgery or anything like that. And she said, why? You're especially, you're a coach, you're out and about, you're on Zoom, you want to speak to people and groups and all that. And I said, I don't think that that's where my value is. I think that I beam from within. I think I'm always going to be adorable. And I want to know what I look like at 65, what I look like at 70, what I look like at 75, 80. And if I got some jaws hanging and a few wrinkles, I earned every one of them. And I think that my heart is always going to shine through. So you do you, elegant. I'm like, I show up in pearls and I'll take them off in a second if we're out shoveling dirt in the backyard together. I'm good. I can float anyway, and it works.
Oh, yeah.
I think curiosity about who am I? Where will I be at this stage? And then when tough things come up, I'm like, oh, I'm curious about, oh, that's how I'm feeling about this situation. It's observing more and allowing it to be. And taking off those judgmental, those words like I'm this or I'm that. No, let me see how I am in this situation. And it's a lot of observance and observance with love and compassion.
That self-judgment, I feel as people, we are so much more critical of ourselves than we are of others. And it comes out that we're criticizing the world when really that's just the mirror. We're seeing all that within us. How do you support people when they are having that? I mean, I've had to work through so many levels of self-criticism.
So when coaching somebody, I think a lot of things is when I hear something, I say, is that really true? What's your evidence? Give me the evidence. And they'll say, oh, well, I've tried everything. And I love my mentor, Brendan Burchard. He'll say, oh, okay. You got the list? Get the list. Read me the list. And of course, they've tried three things. When there are 55,000 you could try, but they've tried three and gave up. So it's just really, is that true? Is that really true? Or who told you that? Where do you think you came up with that? And then unpacking that a little bit, but then at the same time, if somebody said, well, I'm so stupid or I'm so this, who else in your life would you say that to and get away with it? And they're like, oh my gosh, nobody. Would you say that to your children? Oh, never. Would you say that to somebody you love? Never. I think it's just putting it into perspective. And when we really, Julie, when you really understand that there's never been a you in the world, there isn't another you now, and there will never in all of eternity be another you, that's a tremendous amount of value. That's an understanding of, I have a place here and it's valuable. And so I need to honor that more. Because I think it's hard to really, like you said, in a mirror that you're looking out, it's very hard to truly honor other people, truly be curious, truly lead with love if you cannot give that to yourself. That's where the imposter syndrome comes in. Because you're acting to some degree, not with malintent, to make other people feel comfortable or to do whatever, but you can't do that for yourself. And all you have is yourself. Nobody gets to die in your place. Your soul is yours. You're with you the most of anybody in the world. So why not like yourself? Don't you want to like who you're hanging out with all day? I do.
All day. I just.
All night, every day, year in, year out. When is this shit leaving? Never.
You know? Go away, Grim Reaper. We're not ready.
I'm sick of her. Oh, I better love her. Yeah.
I'm feasting on this because it's something that I am still growing in myself. And it's such a fun space to grow, to hear the voices, to hear where some of that, there's so much that's woven into us throughout our lifetime. And I'm learning that if I can get still and quiet and be curious about that voice, like, why am I saying that? And now I can hear like, oh, I can actually even hear who imprinted that into my life and where that's coming from. It's really not coming from me. And it may not have even been a malintent on anyone, but how I internalized it as a person left me going one direction. And like, okay, this book, I'm totally Jenna Kutcher.
Oh, I just got it.
How are you, really?
Right here. Yeah. It just arrived a few days ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the next book for the book club.
When is that starting? I'm showing up. I don't care what I'm doing.
Right. It starts.
I don't care if I'm in the shower. I'm there.
Listen, it's going to be so good. It's so good that we're like, we're giving this book club. I want access for anyone who wants to participate in this book club. It's absolutely going to be free. The code is Grow With Books if you want to get into that book club for free. Normally it's $47 a month to participate. And that just keeps everybody, when we have a little bit of skin in the game, that helps us show up. Keeps us accountable. Where our money goes is where our heart and our mind flows. So that book, with what you're saying about you are the only you, you are the only person, and honoring that. This is a topic that she covers in that. It's so good. I know this is my podcast, the podcast episode with Ed Milet and Jenna Kutcher. Off the Hook. And they talk about this. That's why I'm going on about it, because they're talking about that topic. There's only one you. Like,
only one you.
You need to honor that.
And even if there had been 100 years ago, 7,000 years ago, whatever, when you just think about the physical, what our daddy's little sperm had to get, I mean, all the stuff that had to happen for the egg to even get
for you to be born.
If the odds are against you. So once you're here, shine, love yourself. And I know it's not easy. I'm with you. When I was your age, I struggled. It took me, I was still a people pleaser. I still didn't understand my value. And now I serve at a much higher level without resentment, because I know what my boundaries are. And I also am much better at receiving love, attention, kindnesses. I notice every kind thing that anybody does. Somebody holds a door open. I say, thank you very much. That was really sweet of you. And then I keep walking. Anyway, even with my husband, he'll do a tiny little thing and I'll tell him, thank you. I love you for that. He goes, oh, well, it was just, I go, but I saw it and I felt it and I loved it. Hold this thought, honey, when I'm bitching at you later, but you know, like, take it, dude, take the compliment.
Oh, I love it. Cause that's still the alive. Honest truth. That's the honest truth right now. Oh, I love that.
I'm still a wife. I still mess up. I try to lead with love. The old Sherry comes up. You know what came to my mind when you were talking to me about still, it's a struggle at times. I need something that's literal for me to be able to just get reset very quickly. When I say, if I'm losing my temper or I'm starting to believe the voice inside, I need something that just kind of stops it. So for me, I really imagine the little angel and the little devil, but they're not angel and devils. It's like my good friend and the biatch of all time is the voice, right? Well, I literally go, you know what, lady? Boom, you got to go. And I will literally do that. I'm standing in the grocery store. I'm walking down the street. I'm in my kitchen by myself. I just send her flying. So for me, it's like, it's just something solid. It's something that it's an act that just kind of stops it in the moment. It's silly, but it works. It's like, what's
Mel's 5 second rule? Mel Robbins?
No, or the high five. High-fiving yourself in the morning in the mirror. It's a simple act that centers you and gets you straight.
I love this conversation, especially for this time of year, because I think so often these middle months of the year, especially the summer months where I think people kind of start to get lost, and maybe it's vacation or this or that, and or distance from New Year's resolutions and the big hurrah, and that distance just separates us. And I love this conversation for just that practicality of really re-engaging and being curious and following in. Oh, powerful. So powerful. Yeah.
And I think when you have the roadmap, so for me in my work, I focus on boomers. So people that are around 55 to maybe 75, who are going through some transition. They've left a marriage or they lost a spouse. They're retiring, they're changing jobs, their children are in college or getting married, or there's just something going on. And I work with both men and women. Women tend to gravitate more towards me. And so, and I love working with men. I've worked with several men, and I find people are people. Anybody that's kind of trying to say, okay, what is my next iteration? Where's the next great thing I want to do in my life? So I love to work with people who are going into their third act. This is our third act. If you look at three stages, I didn't invent that. I know that Jane Fonda brought that up and other people have talked about that. So I'm in my third act. So I want to design and star in my third act. I want these last years to be my most impactful, not only for people around me, but for me too. I don't have a lot of time to waste now. Everything needs to count, even if it's laying around in the backyard, reading a book and chilling. Whatever I'm doing, I'm all in that moment. I'm embracing it. I'm loving it, all of that. So I love working with people that are like, no, I'm not going to shuffle off because the world tells me I'm done. I've got so much to give. So a lot of the people I work with, they're starting small businesses, or they are going to go on that backpacking. Like it's their, the year you have usually between high school and college.
Oh, like a gap year?
Yeah, gap year. Yeah. So they're like, I'm creating a gap year for myself at 65. I'm going wherever I want. And my grandkids think I'm nuts and I don't care. They say, I'm spending your inheritance. Don't worry about it. So, it's so much fun. And there are a lot of people that it's a big flip for them. It's a big change of perspective to say, no, I can take everything I've ever done, channel that into what I really want to do, enjoy it, embrace it, and do it.
I love this. I absolutely love this. I think a lot of people that are in my demographic in their early mid 40s, I'm the mid 40s, not the early, but lots of you are in the early stages still. I love where I'm at. All that to say, you know, I mean, I can hear, you know, lots of conscious investors saying like, gosh, I love my personal growth journey. I want my family. I want my parents. I want my whoever, oh, they should work with someone like you, Sherry. Oh my gosh, you have so much life. Is there a way that you have found where those other generation can support and say, hey, I know this person. Mm-hmm. You should look into this. Mm-hmm. What's a nice way of going about that? Is there one? And
I think it's, again, you're thinking about the relationship with you have with somebody. If it's a topic that you're bringing up and you feel awkward about it, there are probably other areas that you feel awkward with that person. So I think it's just the relationship. And I think also when somebody is genuinely, there isn't a motive other than I want the best for you, is just sharing that. Hey, I have to do that with my daughter a lot. You know, she's a young woman. She's in her mid 40s. She's running her life. She's a single mom. She's an emergency room nurse. She's a woman with things happening. And I want to be mindful that whenever I have come across something that would be helpful for her. And so there's a close relationship and don't want to overstep bounds. I guess the same with an adult child might feel. I think I just bring it forth as information. Hey, I've come across this resource. It made me think of you. So if you're interested, here's the website, here's the whatever. If you think it's cool, I'd like to hear how it comes out. So, and the person might just say, oh, you know what? I thought about it. I didn't even look it up. Yeah. I don't know why you thought of me. And I would go, oh, okay. Well, I did. Yes. So I think it's just anything that you're doing with love and there isn't a great expectation of what the outcome is going to be, that you just offer them information. They either take it up because everything in our life, sometimes it's where we're at. It may be good. We may have passed that point. Like that info doesn't serve me right now, or you're not quite ready for it. Or what's best is when you're like, zing, uh-oh. This really resonates. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's a really great coaching relationship with a client, when they are, I can't want something more for them than they want for themselves. This stage of the game, I'm not talking anybody into anything. When I'm on the phone in a discovery call, I'm not seeking to close. I'm seeking to really see, does this work? But then if the person, I'm like, oh yeah, this is good. There's some trepidation because they're just like, oh, I don't know if I can give this to myself. If it's that, then I'm going to coach them through the decision. I'm going to hold the space for them to make that great decision for them. And then, of course, it's a win-win because I have a client and I'm working with them. So I think it's the same thing. When you're offering something, it's information, you let it be, and you don't have a vested interest in the outcome, especially if the person's an adult. Yeah. Even when my daughter will say this is happening or that's happening, now I would have offered all kinds of advice in the past and maybe even been quite pushy about it. I was a little bit of a helicopter mom when I was younger. And now I just say, well, I came across this resource and you're smart. You'll figure it out. And I'd love to hear how it turned out. And then I walk away and I'm not invested in what she does. What she does is what she does. Mm-hmm. And that's so it. It's just giving with love and letting go.
And I think a lot of people listening need to hear that because that's just great. Regardless of a relationship and where you're at in life, we're not here to be in control of the other characters in our life, the other cast members. They have their own roles and get to write the script for them as much as we sometimes want to.
Yeah, especially as a mom. I think the hardest, I have friends, younger friends that they have children, I don't know, 10 or whatever, maybe 15, you know, starting to get into those years. And they're like, this is so hard. I said, it's hard to be the parent of an adult. You have no sway. No influence.
You're grounded. No, you're giving the keys up.
You have to accept it. And then you also have to accept they're in a different world. My daughter and her son, they live in a different world than I lived in. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I can give great advice. I'm not in the exact same, so I don't have the same peers. It's a new world. And then you also have to trust that all the things that you taught and that you cared about when you had influence, and some of it stuck. And it was good stuff. And then you just have to trust that.
Mm. Oh, gosh, I love it. I love this conversation so much, Sherry. I mentioned before we started, I was like, so many people are confused. And we've kind of done this in reverse order a little bit, not really, because we're talking so much about coaching. And it's interesting. I put a post into some private Facebook groups. And I said, if you had 90 minutes with a high performance coach, what would you want support with? And I think you understand why I phrased it like, there's always a reason why I phrased it like that, not like it's all about support, right? And so it's interesting how many came back with practical real estate things that they wanted, because these were in real estate groups. And so it's interesting, like, oh no, there's a difference. You really need a real estate mentor for that, but a high performance coach is going to serve you in this other capacity. In your experience, like, I'd love to just kind of pull some of that apart for people listening here. They're kind of lumping high performance coaching and support coaching for transitions and such into one category. Oh, you're a life coach or this. Like, how do you differentiate that for people so they can really understand the power you bring? Because I know you do.
Yeah. Well, there's a big difference in being a consultant or having answers. A coach doesn't really provide answers for somebody. I don't tell you what to do or even suggest what you can do. Now, I may, during our conversation in which I'm asking questions, so what is the exact plan? Where are you now? Where are you going? What do you think is the biggest thing tripping you up? And I can tell you, it does not matter whether it's diet, a relationship, work, launching a business, any of that. A lot of it is mindset. It's, can I do this? Mm-hmm. And can I do it well enough to be proud of it? So, and usually we're proud of success. We're proud of what the world tells us we should be proud of. And so it's really digging in. So a coach is really helping you where you're getting clarity, you're growing more courage, you're growing more influence, you're generating more energy for yourself and those around you. And then you're starting to master up in those areas. And so what you come out with is the ability to have clarity on whatever it is you're doing, and then to step back and really think about what you have to offer, the value of that, what the work actually takes, and then is it worth it? And so, yes, I'm going to move forward. We have all kinds of tools to test a new project or a new situation in which at the end of the day, you can, or at the end of the worksheet, you can figure out, is this really something that I'm going to put this level of time, energy, and resources into. Mm-hmm. So I think coaching really helps you unearth what's already there, the strengths, the courage that you have, your natural intuition. It just helps you hone that. So wherever you land, now you're open to the specific things that a mentor or a course or having a business partner or a JV partner, you're going to be able to level up because you have everything it takes to be successful. You know, it's figure outable. You know, oh, we need him for this and her for that. And you're confident in asking for that help and then integrating it into your workspace, your work ethic, the things that you want to do. And then you can act on it. Then it's actionable. You can implement it. And usually it's joyously. It's a lot more. You're involved. There's intention. There's a plan. There's an execution. And then, of course, there's the celebration. But it all comes down to here. Yeah. So that's what a coach does. They really help you. They hold space for you and they help you unearth what's already there. And I'm telling you, it's intense sometimes. We're laughing our butts off at times. I'm crying with my client at times. There's the full myriad of emotion, of facing tough things about ourselves, letting go of the excuses. But it isn't with that big hype of there's either results or excuses. It isn't that, because you can hear that, but if you can't resonate and you can't get some of the crap out of the way, you can't act on it. And then all you do is feel bad. You're like, well, I guess they can do it and I guess I can't. So now you're spiraling down or you're getting the imposter syndrome. You're acting as if, but you know, you're not connected. So it's intense and it's different with every person. I can tell you, meet somebody, I'll go through an hour and a half session with them and I'll have a general idea of things. And then there'll be surprises all along the way because we are complex. There are so many colors to us and it's kind of unpacking. I think people kind of meet themselves in coaching.
I know that I just had so much self-discovery over the last 2 years of coaching that it's like, wow, this is amazing. And knowing the impetus I had for exploring coaching was I could feel that I have something inside of me. I know there's more I need to contribute to the world and I want to, and I want to unpack it and I want to release this. And I am tired of struggling, trying to figure out how, like I need help. And it's just been that discovery that you're talking about, learning how to access myself, because so much of it can get shut down. As we journey through life, we can just, it's very easy to start building these walls and safety measures, little, all sorts of
things. Yeah. And especially today, I think that sometimes because everything is out there now, that there are so many areas of our life that might've been more private that allowed us to process in privacy. But sometimes things are happening quickly, we're very exposed and you've got to kind of think on your feet. And so I think when you have that solid core of this is who I am, this is what I believe in, I'm certainly open to serendipity and new things that come into my life, but I got a cornerstone. You know, when you're building a building, that cornerstone, so that we've got our right angles. This is true that way. This is true that way. This is true that way. I think if you can build that cornerstone, then no matter what the building's going to look like, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be a beautiful building too.
Yeah, whatever you're building, it's going to be okay. And you'll figure it out along the way. When a new thing comes up, you're like, okay, what are we going to do about this? And then you'll trust your instincts. And that's what I love. I think the biggest thing I had to learn in my life was really believing that it was figure outable, that I would figure it out, not necessarily by myself, and I would know when and who to ask to help me. And so I think that's one of the biggest things. I've never been afraid to ask for help. I'm like, hey, you look like you can help me. I mean, like, on a corner in Italy. I'm not quite sure what this means. Hey, come here. They're like telling me in Italian and I'm somehow getting it and it all worked out. And it's just being willing to just reach out to another human being and saying, I don't know what the heck I'm doing here. But I think
And I think you can help me out.
Yeah. And I think I've met a lot of people that said, oh, I could never do that. I think why I'm allowed to do that, why I've given myself permission, is because I know in my heart I would do that or more for that person or any person. Mm-hmm. So I'm comfortable in that I'm me, I'm in the world, and I can reach out to ask because I'm never doing it just selfishly. I'm not just using people.
Yeah.
I know that you could turn right around and say, well, you can help me with this and go, absolutely, let's do it.
Yeah. It goes both ways. Yeah. I love it. Sherry, I want this conversation to go on forever, but we have to have a closing at some point. I usually ask this question of people, but I know that you are an avid reader as well. And so I think I've asked this question one other time, but I would love to know, and my husband actually asked me this morning. He's like, what would you say the top three books are that you have read that you're like, not necessarily real estate or this, Julie, but like, what are your top three books that have really helped you? And I'm like, wow. Okay. Well, boom, boom, boom. And it's really interesting. So I'd love to hear like top three books, and you read a lot of different genres.
I do.
Because you're an avid reader. So if we're thinking about that, so I'm going to give you an actual genre, right? Like personal self-development, that type of category.
Okay. So I think the book that had the most impact on me is right here, The Motivation Manifesto by Brendon Burchard. And if you open this book, it is written all over. It is highlighted. I've written a bunch of things in the very first, the things that I really wanted to remember.
If you're watching on YouTube, she's showing you the book.
I'm just letting them know,
if you're listening, you're missing out. If you're watching on, so listeners, go check it out on YouTube.
I know. I'm just holding a few pages open where there is lots of highlighting, all notes. I have conversations with authors in the book. Mm-hmm. And then I go back, and especially a book like this, that's self-help. What I want to do, it doesn't matter what you read. Information is just information unless you integrate it in your life and then you act on it. So I will actually give myself questions to answer, writing prompts, journal prompts, those kinds of things. So definitely The Manifesto. And then there's another book. I can't always remember the names of things. Where is she? Brené Brown.
Oh.
Brené Brown.
The one on shame?
The Gifts of Imperfection.
Oh, I have not read that one.
Well, she keeps saying in there, stop hustling for love. Stop hustling for acceptance. Mm. And that was one of the biggest lessons I had to learn. I thought, oh, I'm this really nice person. I'm really a cool spirit. I help. But over time, there was resentment. And when you look back, you're like, no, I'm helping because I want to be loved. I'm helping because I want to be accepted. I got an agenda here, even though it wasn't malintended. I wasn't aware of it. But so I don't hustle for attention, affection. I give and the gift goes out and that's the end of it. I don't pay attention to whether they valued that, whether they even cared, whether I get the feel good back. It's just out there. It's just a gift. And I love Brené for that. She is just rock solid on really questioning who you are and understanding that so many things that you do are self-serving, but they don't feel good over time because you're giving more to others than you give to yourself. Mm. You can't keep pouring from an empty cup. So yay, Brené. And then I love Mel Robbins. A high five. Yeah.
I have it right over on my, I'm pointing over to my bookshelf. I'm like, there it is.
Mel is just the best. I love her when she has her little shorts now on Reels where she just says, you know what? Guys, I'm having a jacked up day. Me, I'm having a jacked up day. And this is how I'm getting out of it today. And she just says, I'm willing myself to do this. I'm willing myself to do that. And you can do the same. You got this. She's just so honest. Yep. She's not worried about, some days she shows up cute with makeup. Other days her hair's like this. She's wearing her pajamas. She's like, this is the kind of day we're having, ladies. So yeah, Mel.
She's just also funny. And just so pointed, like on point every time.
Yeah. I love her glasses. I don't know if you've seen her logo, but it's the cutest logo ever.
So somebody told me, I don't wear glasses when I record usually, but these are glasses I've worn for like 7 years. And somebody is at an event and Brandon Turner actually was like, Julie, you look like what's her face? And I'm like, oh, that's really funny. And then I like thought about it. And then I'm like, oh, what a compliment. She's really awesome.
Yeah. So I think those three books, and I think because they've been kind of recent, although I really love, remind me of the author where we did a series.
Ryan Holiday.
Yes.
He was on my list. I told my husband, and my husband's like, okay, so basically we'll just say Ryan Holiday's a category. Like, we'll just lump it together. I'm like, because you can't just read one of those.
No, that young man he's a prophet.
Like he is
wise 35? Beyond his years.
Yeah.
He's wise for 5 or 6 lifetimes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Gosh, Sherry, now everyone, you understand, conscious investors, why I asked Sherry that question, because I know that you'll have valuable insight with the books that you're reading. Love it. Sherry, it's just such a joy to have you on the show, to be able to have this amazing conversation with you.
Thank you.
I would love to share you with the world. Also, like you listeners might want to say like, oh, I need help with that transition. I'm a boomer. I want to thrive. I want my third act to rock. Or maybe someone knows someone that is like, would benefit from your coaching. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, here's the thing.
I'm not accepting any more clients.
Okay. One of the things that is very typical of a boomer is the technology thing. So I'm just now doing my website. So you can go to Sherry Hogan English, SherryHoganEnglish.com. And you'll see I'm in transition, but good stuff is coming over the next few days, weeks. And then, so I'll be setting up my Facebook page and all that. That's, as a matter of fact, I think it's Sherry Hogan English High Performance Coach, but I haven't done anything with it yet. So I'm finally working with a graphic designer and so I can kind of fix those things and get them going. You can email me at Sherry@SherryHoganEnglish.com. And I always respond to email. Yeah, Sherry@SherryHoganEnglish.com. And so most of my clients have come from referrals. Mm-hmm. And I love to go deep with my clients. So I don't have 15 clients a week. I wouldn't want to do that. I like to go deep with my clients. Yeah, I like to be available. I'm available to them in between sessions via email or whatever. Occasionally we'll pop on for 10-minute laser coaching on one little thing that needs to be looked at. But yeah, I'm invested. I know a lot of people think that there's a little more volume. And I'm like, no, I can do whatever the heck I want to do. I'm starring in my third act and this is how I want it run.
I had another coach ask me just about my clientele and such. And I'm like, I know the pulls of my life and what I want to contribute. And If I had 15 clients, that would be too much for where I'm at and being able to contribute to everyone. So I love that. It's like knowing where everything is so powerful.
Yeah. One of the cool things I'm doing right now is I'm creating a course. So I'm in a program with Danny Einey, his company Miracy. He's written dozens of books on course creation. And so it'll be a hybrid course where there's information, but also group coaching, because I wanted to find a way that I could reach more people, but the quality and what you get from me is still there. And then also it's a little more affordable when it's group coaching, the course, than one-on-one coaching. So I just started that process. So through the end of this year, by the beginning of the year, I'll have the course and then I'll start to market it. So then I'll be able to reach more people, have more impact, but in a way that is beneficial. It'll be different than one-on-one. And of course, as they go through the course, if at the end of it, they're saying, you know what, I think I need a little one-on-one for a while, then we already know exactly where we're going together. So that's kind of cool too.
I love that. And I love group coaching. I love participating in it. I like every part of it, just because you can, again, similar to the book club, you have these other perspectives. And sometimes hearing other people unlock something in their lives, maybe it gives us permission, or maybe it just is that role model that we need. It can be so supportive in that regard. And you really get to know people in it.
Yeah.
In
social learning, social engagement. And then usually you have either a Facebook group or some way for people to continue to stay involved to the level that they want to as the group ends. So it's community. Community is huge, especially today. There's so many of us that there's so many opportunities to spend time with so many people, and yet people are more lonelier than they've ever been.
Yeah.
And so when you make that connection, you don't want it to just end because the coaching experience is ending. Yeah. There was something I wanted to share with you.
Yeah.
Specifically because the majority of your audience are investors, real estate investors.
That's right.
So my husband and I were real estate investors for about 5 years. It's been about 4 years since I got out of it. And for me, that wasn't my calling. So I'm really grateful that I did it. But even for those 5 years, at the very beginning, it was very different back then. There's a lot of large companies that are buying up houses. Your competition is completely different than what it was 9 years ago when I got started. And so for me, finding a seller, buying their house, I love the renovation process. So I always wanted to, they call it flip, but I always put so much love into it that I really set the bar for the new high comp in the area. Usually the first person that came to my house bought it. And even there was a couple of times where it didn't appraise. I wanted 10 grand more than the appraisal. And the person goes, I'm coming 10 grand out of pocket, lady. I want this house. You know, I put my heart and soul into it. But the point of all that was how I could get through a lot of the parts I didn't like was I love that I took an older house. It was something new and fabulous, a new family. Often the house was the eyesore of the neighborhood. So you build a new family, you built a block, which builds a community. And then, of course, any of the profits that I made, I went out and did that again. And so for me, I had to have that mission of the ripple effect of what this does. Now, other people are just good with numbers. They're like, this is what it'll cost. This is and all business. And the impact is still the same, but that's not what drives them. I think you have to find what your mission is, whatever you're doing, and then really fan that.
I love that. In all things that you do, whatever you're investing in, that is so powerful.
What makes your heart beat? And it could be a lot of money. It could be I need the Lamborghini. It could be I want to take my wife to Italy. I don't know. It could just be I need a little bit of that so I can sustain what I'm doing, but I really want the impact and everything in between. Nothing is wrong as long as you're not hurting people. But I think when you really know what your mission is, it drives those mornings that you don't want to get up early. It drives those nights when you're doing proposals or making more seller calls or whatever it is you're doing, the stuff that's the grind part. I think it's easier to do those when you're mission based.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I don't like that we have to put a close on this, but we do. And now everyone understands why you and I have so much alignment. And anyone that's been listening to the podcast for any length of time is like, oh, the ripple effect. Oh, the mission. Oh, I'm like, we didn't even plan this. You know, so no. It's just such an alignment of perspective. And yet we're also so uniquely us. And so it's like, oh, it's just, I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm so grateful. Right. So grateful to share space with you.
Yeah.
Well, conscious investors, it is that time. I hope you have enjoyed this amazing conversation. Make sure that you reach out to Sherry. Make sure that you connect up and that you share this episode, because this is, so many people need these ideas. And it's like, they're going to just go and get that treasure trove that's going to support them. As always, remember, adventure belongs on the trail, not in your investing, not in your personal investing in who you are, and not in your financial investing. So if you need support in keeping the adventure in the right places in life, make sure that you reach out and shoot me a message. Always links in the show notes. Until next time, live big, love bigger.
Are you enjoying this episode? Help spread the word by sharing the episode with a friend or family member. Because really, where would any of our lives be without other people sharing great content with us? Help spread the word by sharing on your social platforms and with those you care about. And remember, tag me at Happy Julie Holly.